Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Fan Experience TV. Thank you for all your returning viewers, and thank you for all you first-timers. I am your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina.
Rick,
big week.
Big week.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. It's a big week. We had a big weekend in sports, obviously. Yankees finally got on track. Knicks with their winning streak that ended last night. But draft week is upon us. And all the mock drafts and all the assumptions and all the predictions go out the window Thursday night as Roger
Goodell. Means absolutely
nothing.
Shit.
Yeah. Like, I'm watching right now. We have a mock draft is on the ESPN2. This has got to be like the 1,000th mock draft I've watched. And like March Madness, after like the third pick, the bracket's going to go wrong. It's going to blow up. We don't know what's going to happen. But that's what's great about the draft. Hope, the hope of the, you know, springs eternal hope that the future, that fifth round pick turns into a Hall of Famer. So we got that coming up. It's really exciting. You got to start with Jacob DeGrom, who is a machine on the mound.
DeGrominating.
I've never, the guy, and they were saying it on Boomer, I think they were saying it on a Boomer Geo, Carton Roberts. J-E-T-S, Jets. You're damn right. Whoever that
Zach
was.
Zach Wilson, and we got to assume Zach Wilson's going to be that,
yeah,
that pick. That's one that they're pretty much getting right all the way through.
Yeah.
After two, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that later.
But Jacob DeGrom, man, you're a Met fan. You must be excited. The guy, he gets on the mound. He's going to strike out 10-plus batters. You're going to get a run if you're lucky. He's unbelievable, Mike. The guy is, as they were saying on the shows, this era's Tom Seaver. It's incredible.
Dude's got 50 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Crazy. In three games. One of them was a 7-inning game. Complete game, two-hitter just the other day. This guy's going to pitch a no-hitter for the Mets. A legitimate no-hitter for the Mets. At some point in time, he will, as long as they can extend him and give him the money. And he's worth it. Let's just be real. Look at how he's starting the season. He's got a 0.31 ERA, 50 strikeouts, and has more hits than half of the Mets lineup.
It's incredible.
It's something to watch. Every single time he takes the ball and he's on that mound, it's a spectacle. You have to sit there and just admire what he's doing. And dude's throwing like 101, 102 miles
That's
an hour
the
in
thing,
like the seventh
man.
Inning.
As the game goes, he gets stronger and stronger. And he's throwing like some serious smoke late in the game.
Unbelievable heat. Complete game shutout for his previous outing. It's just, it's remarkable to watch. And two hits and two runs scored.
The guy
has to get on base so he can get run support because he has to make sure he gets in because the Mets just don't know how to give him run support.
And the guy should have
at least 20 to 30 more wins in the last couple of seasons if it wasn't for the lack of run support that he's been getting.
Yeah, he should be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He keeps this up. It's just incredible how he's the pace that he's at. But you're right, man. The more he goes into games, he's just throwing smoke by people. I can't wait to see him pitch against the Padres with Tatis out there, Manny Machado, the way that they're balling out there.
Talk about Tatis. Tatis is another one that is on fire.
I mean, he hit
this
two off power the other day.
Just
doing the McGregor strut. 21 years old. Was he 21 years old?
I think something like that.
Yeah, just signed a monster contract. The sky's the limit with that kid. It's incredible. And they're making the game funner, right? Doing the McGregor walk.
He's 22.
But doing the McGregor walk, doing all this, like the dances and the backflips. They're making the game funner. And Bauer coming back and saying, yeah, I got no problem with what he did. But it's getting that rigidity out of baseball. Baseball for a while has been like this sort of conservative, boring sort of game, and now with Tatis, you got the grind.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Lindor,
more fun, and they're putting in a little bit more flair.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about the new rules is that if it's like a 7-inning game, and I think this happened over the weekend where somebody no-hits
Bumgarner.
Yeah, it doesn't count as a no-hitter. If you're going to change the rule, man, at least keep it the way it is. I'm not down with that.
Yeah, but it's zero hits per 9 innings. So rules are rules.
The,
you know, it is
point of keeping records then for a 7-game. I mean,
it's because they
why should it hit count?
They're anticipating a lot of different doubleheaders this year.
Okay.
So they don't want to tire out these players as much as possible because you're going to have the COVID concerns and you have. Well, really, we haven't heard much. Let's knock on wood. But since that first weekend series against the Nationals for opening day. Have we heard much about?
Well, here's the thing. Rob Manfred just came out earlier today and said that around 70% of the players and staff have been vaccinated. They're trying to get – so MLB told players March 29 that COVID protocols restrictions would be relaxed when 85% of their Tier 1 personnel are vaccinated. So for the players and the coaches, these guys are getting vaccinated, man. And the more they get vaccinated, the more the restrictions are going to be coming off, which is a good thing. And you're going to – parks are going to start filling up pretty soon. That's coming in the next couple months. Mm-hmm. I think these guys are doing the right thing, getting vaccinated, because I don't think they want to get tested every day and do all that stuff. So
no, of course not.
But we're finally turning the corner on this thing.
Yeah, and fans can go and attend at least Mets and Yankees games with just a vaccination card. And I'm sure that that's true in most of the ballparks around at this point in time. And we're well over 50% of adults with getting at least one shot at this point.
That's great. I wonder where my vaccine card should be around here somewhere in case I want to go to a stadium. So,
I heard that there's a website too where you can get like a digital one. So I have to do that.
When you go to the stadium, just show it. But yeah, man, we're turning the corner here. It's great news. The players are getting, even in New York City, they increased capacity. The MSG to 33%.
Oh, really?
I read that indoor arenas, they're going to 33% on the Citizen app today, which is great news for sports fans. Listen,
Then they have to be upping the outdoor arenas. Yeah. We're at 20%.
That's going to go to 50.
And this is effective when?
Hold on. That's effective.
Well, at least for New York, this is.
Good question. I'm trying to read all the stuff. I'm trying to read all the updates, but it's coming up. It's pretty.
Yeah. No, that's good news, though.
Yeah. So, listen, it's good news for everybody. This is great news. And the virus, the spread is dropping dramatically. So,
vaccines are working. 20 to 33% as of May 19th.
Yeah. Yep.
As of May 19th, they're saying.
Yeah.
They're going up to 33%.
Yeah. And by June, July, that's going to be 50. By the fall, it's going to be 75.
So. Yeah. That 100% for football stadiums seems to be something that could happen.
Oh, I think by September, football stadiums are going to be. I think they'll be pretty packed. I mean, 6 months from now, I think it'll be pretty packed. And even the CEO of Pfizer today was saying by the end of the year they're going to have like a over the counter medication for COVID, which is great news. So, who would have thought it? 12 months, a year ago, we were watching the NFL draft, couldn't leave our house. Most watched draft in history. And this year, you're going to have people in Cleveland. It's going to be great.
All of it really revolves around safety. And that also helps us bring in our next guest, who is all about safety. Please welcome Justin Somerville from Mayfield Athletics to the program. Justin, how are you?
Good, Mike, Rick. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Justin, welcome. Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. So I guess we're talking about baseball, talking about football, the upcoming draft. We'll share more of our thoughts after the interview on as far as the draft goes. But tell us a little bit about yourself and growing up watching sports and who you loved watching. Were there any like fan experiences that you just were just amazing and really got you hooked? And where are you from? And just give us a little timeline of your backstory here.
Yeah, so I'm born and raised in Michigan. I live and die by Detroit sports. I've watched sports and followed most sports almost my entire life. So my earliest memory of the Bad Boys, Pistons, back in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. Then I was Bill Laimbeer or Isaiah Thomas or Joe Dumars shooting baskets in the backyard. I remember those cartoony shirts that they had if they won the championships. I mean, they were great shirts, the Bad Boys shirt with the baskets. That was some of my earliest memories. Yeah, sports has always been a big part of my life growing up. And, Detroit sports is kind of in a weird spot right now. It's not a ton to cheer for, but the memories that I have of Detroit sports, even going back to my younger years, are real good, real good. I think one of the biggest or best experience I've had with Detroit sports is in 2006. Tigers, they've been bad so long, right? And they get to the fourth game of the ALCS, and then Ordóñez comes up and hits that three-run bomb walk-off, going to the World Series. And just listening to Dan Dickerson call that on the radio, even today, it gives me shivers. It's one of those things. There's nothing to cheer for in Detroit sports, so I go back and watch the Bad Boys or the Tigers from 2006.
Yeah.
So it's fun to go back and listen to those still.
Yeah, your Detroit teams definitely had their heydays. They had their abysmal days as well. As far as that 06 Tigers team, I didn't think anyone was going to beat them in the World Series. I thought they were going to run the ship, and that was it. Because you had the Mets and the Cardinals right on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I remember that all too well. Because
the Cardinals barely made the playoffs that year to begin
with.
Barely.
Yeah.
They just snuck in.
And Beltran just not taking the bat off his shoulder.
I know.
In game seven of the final out. Come on. This is just ridiculous. The Cardinals made it through. Oh, my God. The Tigers got this easily. I didn't think even if the Mets advanced, I thought the Tigers were gonna run the ship on that.
Yeah.
And then the Cardinals just go and sweep them. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
I think we won one game. They didn't sweep us.
They didn't? I thought it was a sweep. No?
No, we got swept by the San Francisco Giants in 2012. We got swept.
Okay. Okay. Yep. All right.
We won one game.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. And then obviously you've had some really good Lions teams and some not so good Lions teams.
The really good Lions teams are from the late 50s, but yeah.
Well, really good Lions players, I should say.
Yeah, the Lions players, for sure.
So, but then some pretty horrible ones, but you got a Hall of Famer that played, 5 years, 6 years, and made it into the Hall of Fame. He was a great player and whatever, but
you're talking about Calvin Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously Stafford with Calvin Johnson had this amazing weapon, and now Matthew Stafford is no more. So tell us about what went through your head when you found out the news of Matthew Stafford being traded and Jared Goff coming over and the draft picks that came along with it. I thought it was just a crazy trade, but let's hear your take on it.
Yeah, so I'll say right up front, it didn't shock me. I think fans around here have been kind of apathetic with Stafford for a while. He really hasn't won anything. He's been here since, I believe, 2008. He's never won a playoff game. We've been to the playoffs 3 times since he's been here. He just hasn't won. And Detroit, if anything, they want a winner, right?
Yeah.
And he just didn't win. So I think a lot of fans were apathetic, including me. So it didn't surprise me that they traded him away. But the haul that they got for him is really intriguing. The Rams mortgage their future to win the next year or two. And certain things play out certain ways. We might be able to get a high first-round pick the next couple of years here out of that. And that's going to be enormously beneficial. I am pretty intrigued with the new general manager of the Lions as well. I think that he's done some great things so far. It's going to be interesting to see how he is going to be successful or not. Because a lot of general managers, they start out great, and then they don't do anything else. So it'll be awesome.
I mean, I guess that's common everywhere.
Yeah.
And in every sport. They all, you know, come out guns blazing, and then all of a sudden, you know, they can't do anything right. And
yeah,
Rick knows all about keeping a GM for a little too long.
Yeah.
I don't think he's too happy with his Yankees and Cashman being there for 30 years going on.
Yeah,
he's been there all 30 years?
No, he's
been there since 96, so looking 25 years.
Wow. Okay, so it wasn't that far off. I was just saying a big number, and I was like, damn.
But, Justin, thank you for coming on. When people think about Detroit, they say, oh, they're not winners. But there is so much sports history in Detroit. Joe Louis came there. Sparky Anderson was the manager over there. Bob Gibson played there. Obviously, with Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson and the bad boys, Rick Mahorn and Joe Dumars and all those guys and Isaiah Thomas. And Tommy Hearns was a Detroit guy. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady went to Michigan. Jeter almost grew up in Kalamazoo. Mm-hmm. And who were some of the guys? I named a few of you, but any of the athletes that stick out that you really, as you were growing up, you really sort of admired in Detroit sports?
Well, the biggest name that comes to my mind right off the bat is Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
He was king around here for a long time. You would see his posters in the library in the kids section. It's cool to read. You know, you would see his poster everywhere. Right. And that's probably the first name that comes to mind is Isaiah Thomas. But beyond that, like you mentioned, Tom Brady, he's big in Michigan. Or at least you University of Michigan fans.
Yeah.
Michigan State fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Brady is very loved in this state for sure.
I could only imagine. And I'm sorry. And you meant, so what was it like? Because I remember those battles with the Lakers in the late 80s. Yeah. With the Portland Trail Blazers and Clyde Drexler. What was it like? Lakers, Pistons, late 80s, those series going back and forth. What was the vibe in Detroit at that time for people who like don't get that anymore? What was it like?
Yeah. So I was a little young. I was, how old was I? 88. I was 6 years old when I first won.
Yeah.
So I was a little young, but I remember the Pistons were everywhere. You would see their shirts and hats everywhere. You'd see their faces everywhere. Everything was Pistons. I do remember that. So the vibe was everybody was all in.
Yeah. Is it like that now? Is like, what's the one team out there that people, like, no matter what type part of the season or year, they're like gravitating?
Well, that's the thing. Detroit likes a winner. We don't have a winner right now. So there really is no team here in Detroit that everybody is all in on right now. The Red Wings, they went to the playoffs for 25 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And they started playing horribly. And they haven't won anything. Right? I think the worst team in the NHL this year. So there's just no team in Detroit right now that fans are like, yeah, I'm going to that game. I'm watching them. Every game. There isn't that right now in Detroit.
Got it.
Yeah, it's all about music now. But yeah, you said that what really got you hooked on the Red Wings was the back-to-back Stanley Cups. Yeah. And that really hooked you into the hockey for the most part, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And that, you talk about the vibe. When they went back-to-back, where people walk up and down the streets carrying brooms, there were just people going nuts. It was awesome to see. People were just honking their horns all over the place. And you're not talking just in Detroit. You're talking the whole metro, southeast Michigan.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But that was pretty exciting. And again, the Red Wings at that time, they were everywhere.
Yeah.
It's hats, pictures. You know, it's everything was Red Wings. So if you win in Detroit, everybody's gonna jump on board real quick. But you got to start.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing.
I guess it's just by being deprived of it all. Like when you get something good happening, then you got to imagine that people are going to jump all over it and relish every single moment of it. And I see here that you said one of your best fan experiences is in the business world by becoming friends with some of the very players that you used to watch.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit. Tell us a story about one of those players and how that came about.
Yeah, so I started a company, a sports company. I invented a shock absorber for football helmet face masks. And in starting that company, you come into contact with a lot of athletes. And I'm a Detroit Lions fan, and Lomas Brown was an offensive lineman here in Detroit. And he's somebody that I met early on in the business process. And I consider him a friend now. He's a great guy. But just being able to walk up to Lomas Brown and say, hey, you know, Herman Moore, who was an awesome wide receiver. He played in New York for a little while, too.
Yeah, Herman Moore. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun to come into contact, not only with Detroit athletes, but just high-level athletes, whether current or former athletes. It's a lot of fun. And, yeah, there's a lot of hurdles business-wise. Last year wasn't great for a sports company. You just got to step back and, like, I work in sports. I get to meet cool people. One of the coolest stories business-wise, meeting people, not even knowing it, was a couple years ago I went to an event sponsored by the NFL. And I saw this elderly gentleman walk in the door. And I walked up to him and introduced myself. And I said, hey, are you here to present? Are you part of the organization? He's like, no, I'm here with the NFL. I said, okay, cool. We small talked for a couple minutes. And I didn't realize it, but I was talking to the owner of the San Francisco 49ers. I should have known that. It would have been an awesome conversation had I known that going in.
Yeah.
I didn't know it.
That's incredible.
Would not have thought this guy would have owned a football.
So let's get into it. Mayfield Athletics. Tell us about your company. Tell us what you're involved in and how did you start it? Where'd you come up with the concept?
Yeah, so I'm a big sports fan, obviously. That's why I'm here. I love sports. And I watch a lot of football, love playing football any chance I get. But in watching football, I noticed that there was nothing to absorb impact from below the face mask. Players, especially nowadays with them teaching heads-up tackling, there's nothing to absorb that impact. And I came up with a concept that would allow the face mask to move and absorb and dissipate that impact force. I wanted something that people could put on their helmet in 5 minutes or less and make their helmet safer.
Wow.
I wanted to make athletes safer. So I came up with a concept in my head. I kind of drew it out in my head, tested it out in my head, put it on paper, changed a little bit more, and then started going through the patent process and development process. And now our product's on helmets in the field and making a difference. And it's exciting to see the dream that I had start to take shape for real.
That's incredible. And how has the helmet changed over the years? You see different helmets, but like it went from like pads, just a bunch of pads, to now it's like sort of this high tech sort of piece of equipment that they have on the field.
I think there's a lot of status quo in helmets, and that's what we're looking to change, quite honestly, as a company.
Yeah.
They've been doing things relatively the same way for the last 30, 40 years. Yeah, it looks cool. It looks new. They've reconfigured it a little bit, but it's generally the same technology that is used for the last several decades. And it doesn't really address the concussion brain injury problem like it should. And so that's what we're trying to change. we're trying to change a narrative there and inject a new direction and a fresh voice, so to speak, into the industry.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that warrants more of a, you know, deeper look, because there's obviously been a lot of news coming out of players, you know, leaving the game with traumatic head injuries and mental diseases afterwards, and it just really affects them in the game and when they're out of the game. So I guess I want to ask, like, so you drew up this, you know, concept. Do you have like an engineering background prior to this?
Yeah, so I say this a lot, and I hesitate to compare myself with him, but I consider myself a Thomas Edison type. I'm kind of self-taught in a lot of ways. I consider myself a garage engineer.
Wow.
I worked with CAD designers and engineers to actually get that product to the field, but the general concept came from me. I consider myself self-taught in a lot of ways. So no, I don't have a formal engineering background, but I'm an innovator. I can look at a problem and figure out a better way to do it. I guess, I don't know if you want to say visionary or innovator is the best way to say it.
That's quite a gift.
Hey, you got a pretty big visionary from that area anyway with Mr. Henry Ford.
I know. Well, Thomas Edison grew up in
did he?
As well, yeah.
Did he? Wow. Okay. All right. I did not know that, but obviously Ford is huge over there. His name's all over everything.
Yeah, including Ford Field.
Yeah,
exactly. Ford Field. And what does he say? If you believe you can or believe you can't, either way, you're right.
Yep.
So wow. I love that quote. I use that all the time. But yeah, so you believed that you could figure this out. You sat there and drummed it up in your head, drummed it up on paper, drummed it up in real life. And so where is it being used? Actually, what? Tell us. Why did you call the company Mayfield Athletics? You told us before off air, but I think it's a nice story. Yeah. So share that with us, please.
Yeah, so our official company name is Hobart Mayfield. Hobart was my grandfather's name. He was from Mayfield, Kentucky. He was a decorated World War II vet, went out under fire, saved the guy, a wounded comrade out in the field, got the Bronze Star for that. So he's somebody that I've always looked up to, and I named the company after him.
That's awesome.
That's an awesome story. That's incredible. So tell us, I'm curious, you mentioned that the configuration's changed, the helmet's changed, but the technology within the helmet has changed. Mm-hmm. What exactly has not been, like, obviously they're saying concussions are down, head injuries are down, but what within the helmet has not been changed that the average fan is not aware of?
Yeah, so it's the general concept of the helmet itself. So right now you have the shell, you have padding, and then you have your head.
Okay.
Those three aspects, and those are all in direct contact with each other. We're throwing that out. Mm-hmm. We're going to isolate your head. So what you want to do is you want the equipment to take the impact, right?
Yeah.
You want your head to be a backstop for impact absorption. So we're going to take that out of the equation. We're going to isolate your head and actually have nothing in contact, or as much as possible, nothing in contact with your cranium area during impact. So that impact force will go around your head instead of through it. Kind of think of the crumple zone in an automobile.
Yeah.
Concept and applying it to the helmet.
Wow.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this, Justin. Even with all the technology, like you said, crumple zone, you said, but can the head injury be prevented even with as much technology, as much emphasis on player safety as possible? Just the way these guys are big, they're 280 pounds running 4.440s, the collisions. Is there a way to avoid it? Or is it
you
just
can help it? You can help it. You're never going to eliminate
concussions
or brain injuries. If you hit somebody hard enough, no matter what you're wearing, you're going to get injured.
Okay.
We can help the problem as it sits right now. We can inject a new and fresh approach to that problem that nobody's been using for the last 30, 40 years. We can approach that and make a difference, and that's what we're going to do.
Awesome.
It's amazing. So where are the helmets being used now? You said that they are being used in real life concepts. Yeah. Is it more for youth sports right now, or just tell us a little bit about the trajectory you guys have been on so far?
Yeah, so the product that's out in the field is SafeClip, which is this product here. It's the shock absorber for the helmet. But that's on 7 high schools nationwide. We have 4 high schools here in Michigan. We have 1 in Florida, soon to be 2 in Florida, 1 in South Dakota. So we are getting a nationwide presence, and we have probably several hundred individual wearers using the product throughout the country as well, including some in Alaska and Hawaii, and some also in Europe and Australia as well. So we're starting to get traction. We really do need to re-engage after the pandemic and the sports pause and uncertainty there. But everywhere that the product's been used, we've seen great results. And that's why I started this company. I wanted to see real results. I really could care less of what we test in the lab. That's all well and good, but I want to make it for the players themselves. And that's what we've been able to do.
Yeah, of course. Crash test dummies are only as, you know, good for so long. Rick had to get out of that field.
Yeah, I just, as you can tell from my nose.
So what's kind of the next step? Obviously, you want to get the real players, but like you have the seven high schools. What do you see in the immediate future as far as scaling it out a little bit more?
Well, obviously, you want to expand on our success at the high school level. We also want to expand on our success at the youth football level. Our market, the greatest majority of our target market is high school below. There's only 1,500 players in the NFL during the season.
Yeah.
So while that's all good for marketing, we're going to be doing business and making the greatest difference high school below. So that's really what we want to do is expand on the success there. I do want to get our product on an NFL player. We've had some discussions with a couple, and I want to get that done and actually have that brand ambassador wear our product during the season and obviously talk about how it's benefited them and what it's done. And you know, it's going to help them. It's going to help us too. It's going to help us reach more players.
Yeah. I think Antonio Brown is very
fond
of his helmet.
He might be.
Yeah. He needs something, doesn't he?
Yeah. Let me ask you, with your new helmet, how the younger kids, obviously they look up to the pro athlete or whatever, but how receptive are they to this new technology, to the new helmet, wearing the new helmet?
So the biggest aspect, quite honestly, for youth players, even up into the college and NFL level, is looks. they will put a helmet on or piece of equipment on. They'll go look in the mirror and say, hey, what do I look like in this piece of equipment? So it's going to be cool. So from a player's perspective, they care about safety, but looks are right there.
Yeah.
So if it works, which our product does, and it looks cool, which our product is also pretty cool looking, that's what they want.
That's incredible. And how and you mentioned pro athletes, so you've been in discussions, but is the pro athlete receptive to a new helmet that's geared around safety? Is it heavy? Is the helmet heavier? Is it more comfortable for them?
Yeah. Like, so again, the product that we have on the field is just this small product. It's an add-on.
Oh, okay.
But we are working on the helmet. That's not on the field yet. So this is a product that we're approaching them with. Reception from pro athletes has been very good. We actually had a deal in place about a year and a half ago with an NFL player. We just did not have the resources to execute that deal.
Yeah.
Agent got involved.
Ah, good old agent.
Yeah, he liked the product. He's very safety conscious, had a great season. He's a very well-known NFL player now. But that's the kind of player that we are targeting. Somebody that's very safety conscious, very safety forward-thinking. And they've been very receptive, the players that we've talked to.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit how that safe clip works. Like, how do you implement it into a current helmet that's being worn like youth football and high school?
Yeah, so basically all you do is take the existing clips that hold the face mask off and you put our clips on there. It stalls in 5 minutes or less and allows the face mask to move back. It's a shock absorber for a face mask. So if you get a direct front-on blow, that face mask will move a little bit, absorb and dissipate that impact force. We also help a little bit from the sides as well. But the greatest benefit of our product is right from the front. And again, the way that they're teaching tackling nowadays, they're teaching heads-up tackling.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 50%, almost 50% of concussions at the high school level are from a blow to the face. And that's exactly the type of impact. I mean, at the pro level, you think of Mike Rudolph a couple of years
ago.
He got knocked out cold from a blow to the
face.
And that's exactly the type of hit that we help improve.
Very cool. Very cool. And how about the parents in youth football? And what are they saying about it? Because I know there's a lot of parents that are out there that are afraid to get their, you know, children into youth football because of all the recent news of all these head injuries. And obviously news spreads like wildfire now with social media everywhere, and you can't take your eyes off of whatever's going on.
Yeah.
So a lot more parents are hesitant, which could also impact the game in the next 10, 15, 20 years if kids stop playing football. So what are the parents saying about this, and what are their opinions on this new safety shock absorber that you have?
Yeah. So first and foremost, parents are the biggest proponents of safety for the kids, just like you said. I think moms in particular are very safety conscious. They don't want their baby going out and getting a brain injury. I don't want my kid getting a brain injury.
Yeah, of course.
But moms are militant about that. And I like to say, if I was able to get in front of a million moms, we'd be able to sell a million units today. It's just, just a matter of being able to find out and get in front of those moms and speak to them and educate them about what we do and what we could do to benefit their kid. But we've yet to have a mom say no when they've seen our product and what's able to do for their kids. And honestly, they don't even ask about price. And we're not, you know, exorbitantly expensive or by any means, but they don't even ask about price. You're like, it makes kids safer. Put it on now.
Yeah, that's the way parents are. Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. So where can an athlete or a football player or wants to put this on the helmet, where can they find it and what's the cost of it?
Yeah, so cost retail price is $29.99. If you're on your website, www.mayfieldathletics.com or getsafeclip.com. You can go on there and you can buy 1, 2, 3 sets, however many helmets that you have, you can buy that right now. Obviously, we do have team and wholesale pricing below that. If a whole team comes in and wants to buy it for their entire team, we can work with you on price. We can work with just about any budget within that, but the price is $29.99. You can buy that right off our website.
That's great. I'm surprised that the NFL, that's so player conscious, and even the NCAA, that they're trying to be more player conscious, they haven't reached out to you to do a partnership. Have they been like proactively talking to you, or has it been a struggle for you to try to break through their like sort of monopoly of companies?
Yeah, that's kind of the game. There's a lot of red tape at the NCAA level and NFL level.
I could imagine.
We are cutting through that and we'll continue to do that, but it's just there's a lot of red tape. I guess I'll leave it at that, but there's a lot of red tape at that level. Probably not surprisingly, but
yeah,
there's a lot of red tape.
Yeah, because something like that would have to be going through the player union. It can't be, can't like convince just one team to do it. It has to go all the way across the board.
Exactly.
So you really can't, you can't have like pilots on different teams or things like that, because it's a huge conglomerate of just machine. It's unbelievable what the NFL has accomplished. We're in ending the first month of the Major League Baseball season. Basketball is wrapping up, heading towards the playoffs, yet nobody could stop talking about football.
Mm-hmm.
And their season's not starting for months.
I know.
Because the draft is this huge spectacle. We're all talking about the fact that Roger Goodell can hug people again. And you have teams like the Tigers doing horrible, as always, but... Sorry. And then, but you got, teams like the Athletics are just like, killing it over there, and the Royals and the Dodgers and the Red Sox, who went on a whole fire sale and all of a sudden leading everything over there in the AL East. And you got the Knicks winning 9 in a row and all these big things happening, all these other sports, yet
football.
The focus is on what's going to happen tomorrow, Thursday night, rather. Who's going to trade a pick to who? And all obviously months long, Rick talks about it all the time, just 100 million mock drafts being replayed and over and just to keep doing it. And for what? Nobody's going to be right.
No.
And if anyone was going to be right, then they deserve to be paid a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, it's probably the same by you, but they've been talking about the draft here in Detroit for the last 3-4 months.
Especially since you got extra draft picks out of it. Well, is that even for this year or is it for next year?
Not this year. I think those kick in the next year and the year after. And also, that's also very interesting to me, too, because Stafford has an injury history the last several years.
I really don't understand. You traded – the Rams traded a quarterback that went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. For somebody
lost miserably, but he went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Stafford hasn't made it. Has he made it past the first round of the playoffs?
No.
He has not. Yeah. So you're trading for a guy that's never had any success in a postseason.
No.
And you're trading away a guy that got you to a Super Bowl.
I know.
And then you're throwing in draft picks on top of that. I truly don't understand it. And I don't know if I can get my head around it. I think somebody was wearing a helmet without a safe clip on it, and that's who was making the decision.
Yeah, it did. It's great for the Lions. It's awesome.
Absolutely. I agree. I think the Lions made out like bandits.
Yes, on I agree. That one. Yeah, I mean, they could have acquired a quarterback that'll be their quarterback for the next 6-7 years, conceivably. It depends on what they kind of do in this draft, I guess. But they have a guy that's, like you said, he's been to the Super Bowl.
Not only has he been to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
He beat Russell Wilson with four fingers.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And then got traded after. It's just, mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy to think about.
He really wasn't that far off from actually winning that Super Bowl. I think the final of that Super Bowl was 13-9. It was a very unexciting game. It wasn't well played on either side, but
Yeah. The Rams offense looked pretty abysmal, but yeah, you're right. It was still a close game, no. But it was not the Rams team that got to the Super Bowl.
No.
And that, was that the year that it was the pass interference call? Yeah, yeah, where the Saints should have won it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Saints should have won it, and that was just a horrible call. Yeah. Well,
that was
it. Is what it is. But Rick, you can take that next.
Yeah, one. You know, I'm curious. Who comes up with the designs? Is that you that comes up with the designs for the face masks? Because I'm seeing these designs. They are pretty cool. They are very like 21st century kind of face masks.
Yeah, so that's one of our brands, Duty Face Masks. I think that's what. Yeah. So that's one of our brands, but they have some very cool designs. The benefit of those face masks that we offer are they're one piece of steel.
That's, yeah.
The name escapes me. It's molded. It's now together like all the face masks are nowadays. It's one piece of steel.
And how was it before? Obviously, I remember like Joe Theismann had the bar.
Yeah.
And Terry Bradshaw had those little ones. But like the newer kind of face masks, are they kind of in that same design, that same mold, or is it different? Like
it's a little different. So ours have design capabilities that you can't have with a welded face mask just because you can't stack a bunch of bars up and weld them.
Right.
All current face masks, except for ours, are welded together. They take a bunch of round bar and they design it up and weld it together. We're one piece of steel. So we can do things design-wise that you can't do otherwise.
Are you partnered with Riddell as well?
So that helmet fits on the Riddell Speedflex, which is the most popular helmet on the market today. That's what most of the pro players wear nowadays. It's got that little cutout.
Wow. That's fascinating. These are so cool. I'm looking at them. They're really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You said only $29.99 for this clip. Mm-hmm. And the prices of sporting equipment, if you want to sign up your kids for a sport, you're spending an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
But for $30 for this thing that pretty much revolutionizes and helps tremendously as far as these head injuries. Now, obviously, it's meant for face masks, but like hockey and stuff?
Yeah.
People are using it for hockey?
You're absolutely right. That's actually one of the next areas of growth. Hockey and also lacrosse is one of the fastest growing sports in the United States. Here in Detroit, unless you're from the Grosse Pointe area, which is like the more affluent area, nobody plays lacrosse. I'm surprised to learn that lacrosse was one of the fastest growing sports. But yeah, we apply to hockey, lacrosse, cricket masks over in other countries. We'd apply there as well.
Yeah.
But a lot of areas of growth.
Yeah, some people even, who knows, like baseball with the Giancarlo Stanton little earpiece thing. I guess that there's something there. Obviously, it's not a face mask. Some shock absorbance there would be beneficial.
Oh, absolutely.
It just probably would be a different type of piece because there's no, face mask to attach it to.
Yeah.
But safety all around. You can, there's multiple use cases for it for sure. And I mean, commend you guys on doing this, and it's just amazing. A garage inventor. Just to think about it. Some of the best products were made in a garage. Apple computer. Just be real. Not yet. As one of our former guests would say, time hasn't caught up yet.
Right, exactly.
So you will be successful like that. Just time hasn't caught up yet.
Right.
But no, it's a wonderful job that you guys are doing. And so where do you see, well, actually, you know what? No, that's Rick's question. I'm not stepping on your toes.
Yeah, I was going to ask the growth of the company. So where do you see the company 5-10 years down the road? Do you see it being a public company? Do you go private? Do you partner with somebody? Like, where do you see your company going in the near future?
I guess the simple answer there is I'm flexible. I could see it going in a number of different directions. But where I want the company to go in general is I want to be the go-to company for better and safer equipment.
Nice.
We have the Safe Clip. We have the face mask out on the field right now. The helmet system that we're developing is going to revolutionize not only football, but any sport that utilizes a helmet. Theoretically, with our helmet, you'd be able to take a 90-mile-an-hour fastball off a baseball batting helmet and not even feel it. Whereas right now, if you did that, how many concussions do those baseball players get?
I you know, when you said that, the first thing I thought of was Roger Clemens, Mike Piazza. That's the first thing I thought about.
So
theoretically, we have to prove that out with development, but I'm very confident that you wouldn't even feel it. 90-mile-an-hour fastball off a batting helmet with our
and what's the competition like in your industry? Is it fierce? Is it just a Is it small companies?
There's a lot of fish in the pond, so to speak, but they're just taking the current technology and rearranging it. And I think that's what makes us so unique, is we're not rearranging current technology. We're throwing that out. We're approaching it from a new direction, something that hasn't been done before. And that's, I think, what makes us so exciting and different than anything else out there.
That is incredible. Well, I got to say, Justin, this is incredible stuff, man. I feel like we're on the cutting edge of something great coming up in a few years. And I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see it and keep an eye out for it, man. It's great stuff.
Yeah. And so you mentioned that people could buy it on mayfieldathletics.com or getsafeclip.com, you said?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
It takes you to the same place. We have to
have you been in talks with any of the, you know, the sporting goods stores like Dick's and Modell's, I think, is, you know, pretty much
bankrupt.
Like any of those big retail shops, even the Walmarts and the Targets of the world.
Yeah, no, and that's definitely an option for us. We've had a couple of preliminary discussions. Nothing too serious yet, but we'll get there. We have a lot of connections, especially with Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yes.
A lot of ways to get in the door there. So I think that's something that we'll explore more fully here very soon.
I like this on Shark Tank.
Now, funny story, I did apply to them years ago, and I actually got the level of talking to a producer. But when I was talking to a producer, it was basically just me and my idea. That was it. I had no sales. I had nothing.
Okay.
I wasn't quite ready for Shark Tank, but that that is would be an interesting option.
Well, they're lost right now because things are growing. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but you just keep building it. I had an idea a couple of years ago, and it was just an idea, and now just getting to work on it, and you just advance and you just keep doing it as much as you can by yourself, and then eventually it just keeps growing and growing, and and now you're in seven high schools and youth programs all over the place. People could buy it on your website for pennies on the dollar compared to all the other sporting equipment. That's gonna cost you $300.
No,
bats cost $300. And why? It's because of the absorbing material that's inside the bat too.
I know.
So why are you gonna spend all this money for a bat that absorbs and has all this transfer of power to the baseball, but you're not gonna do it for a face mask?
That's a fair point. I like that.
There you go.
Your salesperson.
There you go.
All right. I'll take the royalties.
All right.
I'll take the royalties. I'm good with that. But yeah, I honestly think it's just a matter of time. Get your foot in the door and to a bunch of these people in the industry and inside the game, out around the game. And, you know, it will happen. Obviously, the retail stores and it, try for Shark Tank again. There's other ones of these as well. So I would definitely go after that. And I think one of them, maybe that QVC girl. What's her name? Lori?
Yeah, I figured her full name, but I think you're right.
Lori Grenier or something like that. Like, she usually likes those types of products. Like, that's what she goes gung-ho about and probably partner with Cuban on it or something like that. Yeah. Or Herjavec, because he's the engineer type guy too. So, but it's just impressive. What did you do before?
So I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur.
Nice.
I've done a lot of different things in my career. I'm a journeyman electrician. I'm a certified home inspector. I actually wrote and published a kid's book, believe it or not.
Okay.
Several years ago. So I did that. Developing a consumer product has always been, especially a sports product, has always been a passion of mine and something that I finally went and did in 2014.
It's awesome. And I love the go-getter attitude. And you built a hell of a product. There's no sugarcoating about it. It's something that's going to help a whole generation of youth football players, and then the current professionals once they can get them instilled into their material there. So, and I see that coming within the next few years, and we're rooting for you for sure.
All right, thanks,
Justin. Great stuff, man. Keep it up. I'm gonna keep an eye out for it. Nothing but the best, man. Feel free to come back anytime.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Other places that they can find you? Mayfield Athletics, SafeClip.com. What else?
I know we have a couple of social media pages. You can look up either SafeClip or Mayfield Athletics and give us a follow on there.
Okay.
For me personally, I kind of Google myself every once in a while, see how I'm doing. It's kind of fun, but just follow our social media pages and then check out our website. I think are the best ways to see what we're doing.
Perfect. All right, everybody, go check it out. If you have any kids in youth football, go out there and get it right now. You don't even have to leave your house. That's how easy it is. Just go to MayfieldAthletics.com and buy it right there. They'll ship it right to you, and you'll be all set for this upcoming football season or lacrosse season or hockey season.
Exactly.
So let's go. Justin, it was an absolute pleasure. Best of luck. And like Rick said, you always have a home here.
All right. Well, it's great being here. Look forward to coming back again in the future. That'd be awesome.
Yes. Thank you, Justin.
All right. Take it easy.
Yeah. Take care.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
That's incredible.
Amazing.
That's a company you see like
amazing.
In a few years, you're gonna start hearing about it in like Bloomberg and stuff like that, or like even with the NFL and stuff. Like you'll see it happening. Like it'll happen.
Yeah, it's a testament of hard work and consistency and just you know, keep moving forward. And that's what you have to do with anything. Today it's a save clip in Justin's case and Mayfield Athletic case, but really you have an idea, you have a dream. It's not going to just come to full fruition in a year. You just have to keep at it. If you really want to do something, whether it's change the landscape of safety in sports or something else entirely, just keep at it and you got it.
There you go. Yeah. So news and notes around the world of sports. Obviously, it is
draft week.
2000 mock NFL live draft is on Thursday night. Roger Goodell will be hugging people again. Trevor Lawrence will not be there, but our boy Zach Wilson will be. I think it's going to be an exciting night. These are 3 days where I literally don't leave my house. I sit there on the couch and watch every damn pick. It's going to be exciting. And I think the draft starts at 3 with San Francisco. They moved up for a reason because I think they know who they want. They just wanted to be sure to be in that position. But I think that's where the draft starts on Thursday night.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson have to be just locks at this point.
Like, yeah.
I don't see how they're going anywhere else. I guess let's talk about that for a second. Ten years from now, who do you think is the better quarterback?
That's an excellent question. I think it's Zach Wilson.
I think so, too.
The reason being is that
– I think it's going to
– He's going to Jacksonville.
You know, the variable of who's going to be mentoring him and who's going to be pushing him in the right direction. I think if the variables are kind of constant and pretty much the same on both ends, I think Zach Wilson ends up being the better quarterback in 10 years.
And that doesn't mean that Trevor Lawrence is going to have a bad career, but he's going – I just think he's going to Jacksonville. Yes, that's like – you know, down there, he's like a god, right? The ACC, Clemson, he's a god down there. However, I just think that Jacksonville is a team that they build a team up, they fall apart. Do players want – even, with the taxes and all that, do players want to go to Jacksonville and play? They want to go to the Rams. They want to play in big-profile teams like the Cowboys and stuff like that. The Dolphins. So people are going to want to go down there. And I just think they need to build that team for the draft. Who knows how long Urban Meyer is going to be there for. Usually after his third or fourth season, he's burnt out. He's got an issue. But I just think Zach Wilson, I've just been watching some of the videos of him. His arm is like explosive. I'm watching Aaron Rodgers right now. That's who they're comparing him to. I just think the Jets are going to build right around them. Joe Douglas is not going to let this kid fail. And with Michael Ford, Robert Saleh, I think they're going to build around them, build a good team. And the kid's going to flourish. And so I like Zach Wilson. But listen, I honestly think if the Jets weren't taking Zach Wilson, they should take Trey Lance. I like the guy. He's like 6'5", 240, whatever it is. Absolute monster, man. I like Trey Lance, too. So
226, 6'4".
Right,
I'm looking at it right now.
But yeah. I'm a big fan of his, man. I really like Trey Lance, and I think he's going to have an awesome career. But if you ask me, I think Zach Wilson has a better career.
Yeah, I agree. I guess we move down to 3. So I'm looking at 1, you know, where they have Mac Jones going 3rd to the San Francisco 49ers.
See, that surprises me. I'm not sold on Mac Jones. I'm really not.
No, I didn't really see anything that overly impressed me.
That's why if you're the 49ers at 3, I think you take Trey Lance. You got to take Trey Lance, man. I don't know how they will take him.
This mock draft has the Patriots trading up to the Lions for pick 7 and taking Trey Lance.
Wow. If the Patriots take Trey Lance, all bets are off.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous if they take Trey Lance.
So the one that I have here is it's obviously Lawrence Wilson, and then you got Mac Jones, the Niners, Pitts to the tight end, Kyle Pitts to the Falcons to join the likes.
What are the Bengals doing? What do you got the Bengals doing?
Bengals are getting Penny Sewell, and they need to with the Joe Burrow and his injured knee and all that. And then you got Ja'Marr Chase. So Devonta Smith is like way down here.
Well,
I remember when we were talking about him, it's like, oh boy, how things have changed. But yeah, Ja'Marr Chase to the Dolphins. And then they got Trey Lance going to the Patriots via a trade with the Lions. So
the thing about Devonta Smith is he's 165 pounds. And I think as the draft process has gone on, teams are like, listen, we need this kid is like a little too thin. Like he might get hurt out there. Like we need, but I think Devonta Smith is kind of like a Marvin Harrison, a player like that. Marvin Harrison wasn't a big guy, man, but he was just catching balls all over the place. And he grew into his body a little bit. I think that's going to happen with Devonta Smith, but shocking how he's fallen off the board. Him and Justin Fields have fallen off the board big time.
Well, this particular mock draft has Devonta Smith going 15th to the Lions from the Patriots trade. So that would give them did Galladay re-sign?
No, Galladay signed with the Giants.
Oh, yes. Galladay signed with the Giants. So who's over there? Is Amendola still over there? Who's over there?
Did Marvin Jones, he went to Jacksonville, right?
Marvin Jones, did he go to Jacksonville?
I think so. Or
does Justin know what kind of wide receivers you have if he's still back there? But can ask him. Do you know the wide receivers on the Lions?
I have no idea.
I think obviously they changed up a lot of things. The Lions.
No, Marvin Jones on the Jacksonville Jaguars now. Yeah.
Well, so he's gonna have.
Goff is gonna need some help out there. They got to get him a receiver. So.
Well, Devonta Smith could potentially be that one, or Ja'Marr Chase if they don't make that trade.
If the Bengals don't take Penei Sewell, they're taking Ja'Marr Chase. But I think Ja'Marr Chase.
I mean, I think they have to.
And he's picking six.
Tyrell Williams, Jamal Williams at running back for the Lions, Rashard Perriman.
Yeah.
That's who the Lions have.
All right.
Khalif Raymond. Yeah, that's what we're looking like. Geronimo Allison went to the Lions. Yeah, so really not Rashard Perriman. We had him last year.
Yeah.
But Tyrell Williams, he's moving on from the Raiders, I guess.
Yeah. But look, it's going to be a fun draft. I can't wait. Order some pizza and sit here for 3 hours. And all we got, the thing about the draft is just hope. That's all it is, man. Hope. And it's about the future. And I can't wait.
So the Giants, they have them taking Jalen Waddle, wide receiver. What do they need another wide receiver for? I think that's not happening. That's not. Offensive lineman here and there, cornerback. I think the Giants need to focus on their defense.
Well, listen, the Cowboys are picking for the Giants, and they're taking either J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, well, this one has Surtain going to the Panthers.
At 8, okay.
At 8. And then Rayshon Slater, offensive lineman, to the Cowboys.
Interesting.
It's interesting that they have Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, going to the Giants in this one. I don't see it. They have a plethora of offensive weapons, do they not? Compared to their defense?
They do.
What do you? What needs? Of course, you want a lot of offense and whatever, but
I just think
defense needs.
Yeah, they're looking for an explosive receiver out there.
I get it, but you still need to bolster up your defense, especially what the Giants had. The Jets at 23 taking Greg Newsome, cornerback,
out of Northwestern.
Out of Northwestern, correct.
So the Jets have. Obviously,
and there was also talk about the Jets drafting Najee Harris.
No, you don't take Najee Harris at 23. No, 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 no.
But they have on this one, they have Najee Harris going 24 to the Steelers.
That's fine. Look, at 23, there are two picks. The two positions that the Jets have to address, obviously, cornerback and offensive lineman. If Newsome or Caleb Farley isn't there, then if Elijah Tucker from USC is there, you got to take him. He's a plug-and-play guy. They got to take him. So you put him in there next to Mekhi Becton. The left side of your line is set for the next decade.
Yeah. No, I agree. Right. Offensive line help is
– because they
it's important, especially with Zach Wilson coming in there. You want to give him as much support as he possibly can have.
And then at 34 in the second round, I mean, we won't get into that, obviously, because we're getting close to the time here. But at 34, you can think of if Travis Etienne is still there, then you take him. But at 23, it's either corner or offensive line. And if you got the picks to make a trade to move up for a player, go get him.
Yeah, they're saying on this one, Etienne's going to the Bills at pick 30.
Oh, God, no.
They need that running back help.
They do. They might take
Asante Samuel Jr.
Yeah, but he's 5 foot eight.
5 foot 10, 184. Yeah. But I'm just saying, Asante Samuel Jr., like, how long has it been? Yeah. I mean, it hasn't been that long.
I remember his dad dropping that interception in the Super Bowl that cost him against the Giants.
I remember, but you know what? This is going to be
It's going to be a fun weekend.
It's going to be a fun couple of days, and I can't wait to see how this all plays out. Well, it starts at 7 or 8.
Starts at Eastern. 8 o'clock Thursday
eight,
night.
8 Eastern, yeah. Yeah.
So we'll be back Tuesday night to talk about it.
We will be back next Tuesday to talk all about all the moves that we've seen and preview the upcoming season, and obviously touch base on what happened around the MLB, NBA this week.
Yeah.
As those seasons keep rolling along, and maybe a little hockey too. I don't know.
And our best wishes to Chris Wildman, who threw a kick and snapped his leg. So, you know, hopefully you're on the mend there.
Yes. No, that's the Long Island guy, right?
Yeah, man. Anderson Silva did it against him, and then he did it against somebody else. The world, it's crazy.
Yeah. And a special shout out, happy birthday to my mother.
Oh, happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday. Enjoy.
And for everybody, happy Greek Easter this Sunday. Enjoy your Easter.
Yes.
Yep.
Christos Aresi, everybody, for anyone that's celebrating Orthodox Easter.
What he just said.
Petey. Glad you guys were ready with your draft preview.
That's right.
Rick's been ready for months.
I've been ready for a couple months. I'm not going to lie.
He's been ready for months, but thank you as always for tuning in.
Yes, I wish we could get Kyle Pitts. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, we need to lock up Zach Wilson.
Lock up Zach Wilson, get him an O-lineman, draft Etienne in the second round. We're good to go. All right, everybody. That wraps it up for another episode 78 of Fan Experience TV.
Trekking along towards that hundo.
What are we doing for 100?
Poll the audience or something and say, what are we going to do? Maybe Jets training camp, something interesting, because that's probably going to fall like mid-July or something like that. But we'll see.
10 weeks.
Yeah, 10 weeks. And we're going to have a couple of weeks off here and there with Memorial Day coming up. And so I think it's around mid-July, maybe beginning of August, about our 1 year mark.
Yeah.
You got to think about it. It's 52 weeks for 1 year, and we've taken a couple weeks off.
It's amazing.
And a couple extra episodes here and there. So
it's amazing. Yeah. A year ago at this time, man, you look outside, nobody in the streets, lines to get to a supermarket. Now you go outside, man, it's almost there. Like, you feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we're pumping up to 33% capacity in just a few weeks over here in New York. So. But stay safe out there, everybody. And we will see you on Tuesday night. Enjoy the draft. Have a wonderful night.
Yep.
Peace.